Welcome to The Optimistic Artist. I'm Monique Story, artist, whiskey enthusiast, and massive cheerleader of artists. I'm hugely passionate about helping artists discover their next step by bringing the clarity, the strategy, and the inspiration you need to turn that art hobby of yours into a thriving art business. Whatever creative dream you've got hidden in your heart, I'm here to tell you it is possible. So get ready, my friend. This is The Optimistic Artist. Zach, it's so good to have you.
Thanks so much for having me, Monique. I really appreciate it. This is so great.
I just love meeting people who are totally for artists, and I can so see that you are for artists and you really want to equip them. So I love that. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
So just in case some of my listeners don't know who you are, I know you are the founder of Ready Record, and your mission really is to support artists and help them grow and use video as a way to market their work. How do you end up there? Tell us your story.
Yes, I might go a ways back if that works okay.
Yes, tell us.
I'll go all the way back to childhood.
We are going all the way back.
we're going a little ways back. I promise we'll fast forward to now. But growing up, I grew up in a family that really loved and valued art. And my parents over the years collected many artists' work, paintings, sculptures, and all of that. We always had art around, and my parents oftentimes would take trips to Santa Fe in New Mexico to go to the art markets there. And oftentimes I would hear stories from them meeting artists. And even if they had a minute or two to talk to an artist, they would just light up when they shared these stories with me and my sister. And so eventually, if we fast forward to when I started out as a filmmaker, I was a few years into making videos for clients, and I started wanting to make something of my own, like a personal project. So that's when I started this artist interview series called Beyond the Gallery. And my whole intention with it essentially was to create this experience that my parents had in person with artists, to create that for anyone on the internet to have that type of experience and to be able to step into the studio of many artists and connect with them human to human. So that's how I got started working with artists and helping them tell their stories in their videos.
I love that. Can we see that anywhere? Is it on the interwebs?
It is. So at the time, I think it was just a YouTube channel that I started and a blog and stuff. And they're both still around. My YouTube channel is just my name, Zach Wolfson. And all of the episodes are still up on there. And I started making that in like late 2009, early 2010. And it's on a hiatus. So I stopped making episodes around 2019 and had 60, 65 episodes.
Wow.
With a whole variety of artists and different creative disciplines that I got to spend time with, make friends with, share their stories. And then nowadays, the reason why I've been teaching how to make art videos to artists is largely that midway through, like in some early seasons of Beyond the Gallery, I started making, at the time I just called them extras. I was like watching DVDs. And we're all used to watching like the behind the scenes, right, of our favorite movies and stuff. So I thought, why not? There was a bunch of footage and material that I would film with the artists that wouldn't make it into the final episode. So I just made these really extras videos. And those turned into what in recent years, what I've been calling mini art videos. So mini M-I-N-I. Art videos. And it's been this fun framework to play around with because my whole intention with it is just to make it as approachable and doable as possible for artists. Yeah. So that's the journey so far.
I love that there are people who are passionate about teaching artists about videos, because videos are such an incredibly powerful tool to help artists. So I'd love to hear from you. What role do you see videos playing in an artist's business?
Yeah. So this is my humble opinion. The role that video can play for artists is in humanizing you as a person to the people that are either already choosing to follow you online or for attracting new people that are just discovering your art for the first time. And this next part's not my original idea, but I agree with it in that, like, when it comes to videos that we watch, if you think about it just as a viewer, there tend to be like three types of value that when we're watching a video that we can get out of it. And that's either information. So if we want to learn something, entertainment. So if we just want to be entertained and have a fun time or be moved emotionally by something, or there's relational value. And I firmly believe that for artists, first and foremost, using video as a tool to market your art is a way for you to create relational value with the people that essentially, because you're building relationships with them through the videos that you record, either of your art process or finished works of yours, sharing inspiration of yours. There's a whole bunch of types of art videos. But at the heart of it, I think the really unique superpower that artists have when they're bringing really strong intention to the videos that they're recording is building that relational value with the people in their audiences.
Yeah, I so agree. One of the things that I am so passionate about is the power of storytelling. When we tell stories, that's when we make connections with people. And the stronger someone's connection is to you as an artist, to your work, the more likely they are to buy your work. And video is such an amazing way to tell story, right? And I read a really interesting fact. It was about marketing trends in 2023. And people don't want to see super polished videos. People are really attracted to raw, authentic footage, which is great because it takes the pressure off that we need to produce something that's super clean and professional. You know what? It doesn't matter if you fumble here or there. People don't care. People just want to see behind just the art. And video is an amazing way of doing that.
Yes, you're speaking my language. Like that, because I feel like a lot of the videos that we see online are these highly produced things, pieces of content effectively. And it can feel intimidating to pick up your phone and try to record something especially of yourself, because it's also not normal for most of us to talk to a camera if we're talking in our videos and stuff too. And what's reassuring to me, and that I like to remind as many artists as I can of, is like what you're bringing up here is, and I'll tie into, is that so many of the videos that are really popular on social media are self-recorded videos. Someone on their phone recorded something, some important message of their own, or something, some experience they wanted to impart, or some story they wanted to share, or some moment that means something to them. They didn't plug in an external microphone. They didn't set up the perfect lighting, and it still meant something and still made an impact on the people that watched it. And not everyone that watched it is necessarily going to follow that person, but the fact that it made an impact, that's the important piece of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think the tricky thing with making video is tying that into your art practice, right? Because I find as an artist, like, you're painting, or doing the socials, you're doing the email marketing, you're varnishing, or there's so many things to do. So do you have any tips for how as artists we can incorporate video into our art business in a way that makes it manageable?
Yeah. So when I think manageable is such a good word for it, because I sometimes think of it as, how can we make this sustainable in the long run? Because it is something that, it's not a one and done situation. We're not going to make one art video and then that's it. So making it manageable, making it feel lightweight and easy, and dare I say fun, because that's the thread that I follow for myself, is like, where's the joy? What sounds like fun to me? That's something I learned years ago, like making it a sustainable part of your art practice. Find that joy, like what sounds like fun to you. And in the beginning, if you haven't yet recorded any videos while you're making art, just period. Maybe you've recorded a time lapse while you're in a studio session and you're working for a half hour to an hour and you just set up your phone to record and then it compresses that down to a minute, right? That's the time lapse. But in the beginning, really what we're doing is we're building a habit of recording. So building this habit of recording, what I've found and what I recommend is thinking of it just as like single video clips, like recording a single video clip while you're either while you're working on a piece, or if that feels distracting, because I totally get that. It can bring you out of the flow. It can be while you're taking a break and you're recording a clip of it more of like from an in progress moment instead of you actively working on the piece. And then you can record a bunch of single video clips. And what I mean by that too, is that you're holding your phone or you're propping it up or you're putting it on a small tripod and you're hitting record for 10 seconds up to a few minutes, and then you're stopping recording. That's a single video clip. And you could do that several times, obviously, during the course of a day or several of them over the course of a week. And then you're publishing these as each of them as single video clips. You're not editing them. You're not stringing them together into a sequence of several of them. You're just trimming. If you do any editing, you're just trimming the beginning and the end. I like to call it the heads and the tails, and you keep the heart. Take this from whiskey making. I'm such a word nerd that I always like giving names for things. It helps it stick, right? The whole intention with it is that you're not getting stuck in the editing of the whole point of all of this is that you get to spend your time making your art, and the video making, your art videos get to be an extension of that. It's a tool of documentation. You don't have to bring the same level of your creativity to your videos, because really that creativity should be going into your art making.
Just taking the pressure off, right? I love that.
Yes.
What do you think, I guess we've touched on it, but what do you think is the major thing that holds artists back from making videos?
Biggest thing I've seen is, and I'm a recovering perfectionist myself, so I'm definitely not just pointing the finger, but I'll say perfection is probably the biggest thing that I see holding a lot of artists back from recording any videos in the first place, or recording and then not being happy with it. I know a lot of us have heard the quote from Ira Glass about the gap, the creative gap, right? Between the taste that we have, like we have this, he calls it this killer taste. It's why we got into the creative work that we're in the first place. And then on the other side of this gap is what we want to make. And we need to bridge that, right? And we've gotten there with our primary creative discipline, whether you're a painter or a sculptor, printmaker, a fiber artist. But when we're new to making these art videos, it can feel discouraging that your art videos aren't at the same level as your art. So that's the perfection piece that I feel gets in the way for a lot of artists. And it's a big reason why I really harp on this whole angle of thinking of your art videos as a tool of documentation. Just as you're taking photos of your work as you're in process, let alone the finished pieces themselves, right? That you can use video in a similar way.
So changing our perspective from seeing the video as the finished piece and keeping in mind that it's our art that's the product, it's our art that's the finished work. The video is just, it's just a side product that's just there to showcase what we're doing. I think that really helps, because I think with Instagram Reels and all of that, we start to see our videos as the finished product. And that's when we get hung up on the editing and the perfecting. I need to do that. I need to stop and just remember that it's my artwork that's the finished product, not the video. It's okay if the editing isn't perfect. Okay, I love that. I think that's going to help us as artists to be more prolific in making our videos. because, and also what I've learned is consistency is way more important than perfection. Mm-hmm. You know, just if we can be more consistent and show up regularly, that's going to get us way more connections with our audience than one perfect video every month. I love mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. And another way to think of it too, just to build on this further, is to think of your mini art videos. And I call them that too, just as a side note, I call them that because they're universal. Like you could use them on your Instagram as reels, or if you're on YouTube and you could use them as shorts, or if you're on TikTok, they could be TikToks for you. But to build on what we're talking about here is you can think of your mini art videos. If you're a keeper of a sketchbook, and I feel like this is oftentimes the case more so for painters and illustrators, but if you're doing quick thumbnail sketches, to try out a composition, you're going to limit the tools that you use to accomplish that so that you can problem solve, figure out what you like and where you want to take the piece before you go bigger. So think of your mini art videos in this way too, that they can be sketches. They can be ways for you to try out recording a bunch of moments, like over the course of a month, especially if you're working on a bigger collection of work, maybe it's more than a month, that you're sharing glimpses through your mini art videos. And the more of these that you make, 10 to 60 seconds long, there are more opportunities for you to share them and to see what's resonating with the people that you're attracting to your work. And then you can lean into that more, and just, you know, a lot of marketing is experimentation, right? That's the opportunity with it.
What do you think is the number one mistake that you see artists make when they are getting serious about using video to market their work?
Obsessing over the quality. This ties into
what, I feel like you're speaking to me.
Yeah, and I've been there too. I just want to emphasize that for everyone listening, dear artist, that I've been here, and getting stuck on your video being at the same level quality-wise, whatever that looks like for you, as your art. And there's a secret in this that I have to share that I don't really feel like many people on the internet talk about, especially for artists when it comes to making videos. And that it's the quality of your art videos has nearly everything to do with you sharing your journey as an artist, and almost nothing to do with the video quality itself, like the technical quality of like how well lit it is or how good the sound is. There's a good enough level where if you're talking, we need to be able to hear you clearly. And there has to be enough light on the subject, whether it's you on camera or it's your art on camera or whatever you're showing. We need to be able to see it and we need to be able to hear you. But the takeaway here is that your people that are in your audience that either are already there or have yet to find you, and they're going to, is that they want to connect with you as the human behind your art. They're not here because of how great your videos are. They're here because of your art. And they're going to stick around because of your art and because of you as the human behind it.
Yes. Okay. I'm hearing you. Stop seeing the video as the end product. And it's just that consistency. We will experience way more success with 7 medium quality videos than 1 high quality video, just because we are consistently connecting with our audience. Okay, I'm taking it on board.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, please do.
I'm curious about your video, like your video recording process, and like how it connects into your art making. Like, what have you found that works for you so far that helps like it not get in the way from your art?
I think one thing that's really helped is getting a tripod, because sometimes it was so difficult to try and set everything up, and I'm balancing it on a book and I'm doing this and I'm using a string to tie it here. Just having a tripod that is always set up in the studio has really made it so much easier for me, because I don't have to figure out the headache of how I'm going to get the right angle. I just put my phone in the tripod and it's done. It's easy. So that really helps. The second thing is finding these rhythms. So I know that every time I varnish a piece, I will just put my phone in and I'll record from above. It's super easy to do. It doesn't take long. And I'm going to be varnishing anyway. It's not distracting me. So just finding these little rhythms, like you said, in those break times, every time I have a little break, just doing a little studio update, just doing a 5-second little clips of where I'm up to at the moment, knowing that it doesn't have to be a finished product and doesn't have to be perfect. And then stitching 5 3-second videos together and just posting that and calling it done. And yeah. I've also learned some really interesting ways of how to repurpose content. Because if I feel like I have to make a new reel or a new video every single day, to me, that stresses me out. So I've really spent some time figuring out how can I repurpose the same content and get 2 weeks worth of social media content out of, say, 1 video and 5 photos. I think I might link to it in the show notes. I've written a blog post that teaches artists how to get more out of their content. So that's really helped, just taking the pressure off feeling like I have to create new content every single day.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. You're giving me, I feel like it's a little bit more of an advanced step, but you're giving me the thought to just mention while we're here about reusing video clips that you record. There are certain shots you can record of your studio that you could use over and over again, especially for process videos. And those would be, like, in filmmaking terms, we would think of them as establishing shots. Of just think of like recording a wider angle view of your studio space and just recording that and saving that as a clip that you could use at the start of not necessarily all of your mini art videos, but for a lot of them, if you want to establish like a little bit of context before you get into the detail of showing what you're working on.
And even sometimes what helps is having a bit of a framework. For example, if I'm going to film my work, I'm going to start with a material shot. And then a close up, and then a panning on the side. And then I'm going to start with a from behind zooming in. And if just having that framework means I don't have to think about it. So every time I take a video, I don't have to think. I just go through that framework: materials, close up, zoom from the side, zoom from far away to close up. And then that kind of makes it a little bit simpler as well, I found.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're pre-visualizing like a sequence of shots. That's great.
Yeah. So what are the elements of a good art video? Do you have a framework that you suggest?
This whole mini art video thing that I teach, I haven't like formally thought of it as a framework, but in a lot of ways it is, because it's giving you a specific structure. And I guess the key like technical things about it is that it's a 10 to 60 second video and it's vertical. So the easiest thing to do is to record it vertically. And so the good ones, the reason why I emphasize recording vertically is that the good mini art videos are going to fill the frame. So sometimes I'll see some art videos as reels on Instagram that maybe they were recorded in a landscape orientation, like a widescreen orientation, which makes sense. And we won't go down the rabbit hole of my background as a filmmaker and stuff, but that's my bias, is to record horizontally. But it's not as big on people's screens, on people's phones. So it's not as immersive of an experience for people. So that's why in a lot of ways, it just makes sense for your mini art videos to record them vertically. So you don't have to deal with cropping or scaling up the image to, and then the purpose and the goal behind really good art videos is that, and I guess I'll say mini art videos since it's these short form ones, is that it's giving a glimpse into your world as an artist. That's the whole, like at the heart of it. And the business purpose to it is that it's leaving your people wanting more. Like you want to give people enough, but that they're not quite satisfied, especially if they're discovering your art for the first time, say on Instagram, and they're in the explore area, and one of your mini art videos as a reel is right there in their explore feed, and they tap on it and they watch it, and you left them wanting more, they're going to click over or tap over to your profile and browse more of your work. And most importantly, some of them will follow the link that's in your profile as well. So those are the pieces to a good mini art video.
Love that. Okay. Can we circle back to the question of, now, what is the difference between, say, an artist using video as a marketing tool versus just like a big brand using video?
Absolutely. Just for context, I came up as a filmmaker in commercial production, like making commercials and making lots of marketing videos for businesses and other spaces. Mm-hmm. And then eventually focused on serving creatives and then eventually artists. And so traditionally with marketing videos, it's very much, you'll notice this more or look out for this more. Like the next time you get served an ad, a video ad in your feed on Instagram, look for this, that in other spaces, marketing videos are very like problem and solution focused. Mm. The story that they tell is the problem that we're facing as a customer of theirs, right? So I'm a dad. I have a 2.5-year-old. So I think of these, I'm such a sucker for these ads too. and oftentimes it's these ads of like a Pickler triangle, which is like this wooden structure for your kid to climb, right? So the problem that they might be presenting is activities for your toddler to have. And then here's the solution is this toy that they have. When it comes to marketing your art though, it's different. It's not a problem solution situation. And buying art, right, is an emotive experience. Mm. And so that's why like it comes. So what it comes back to is that building that relational value with the person, thinking of it as one person that's pulling up your art on their phone. They're watching a video of you in your studio, just candidly sharing moments from your process, from your work. So that's the difference, is it's that much more human-centered.
More storytelling rather than problem-focused. I talk about storytelling so much with artists and I always get the question of, okay, great. Yes, we're supposed to tell stories to connect with our audience, but what do we actually tell stories about? They're probably asking, what do we actually take videos of? There's only so many times you can take a video of the same piece of work. So it might be helpful for artists listening to just remember, what do we tell stories about? What do we take videos of? Us as the artist. Tell your story as the artist. Take a video of yourself, where you're up to, what you're thinking, what's your inspiration, and then use video to tell stories of your work. People want to see your materials. They want to see how the work is made. They want to see how time consuming it is to varnish. They want to see all the different framing options. And then tell stories, take videos of your why. Why are you using these materials? What is the narrative behind this collection? Why are you doing what you're doing? What's going on behind the scenes? So I think I just wanted to remind artists there, these are some things you can take videos about. One thing that I think would be good to talk about is a lot of artists don't want to be in front of the camera. How do we support artists who are feeling afraid to be in front of the camera?
Yes. So yeah, this is something that comes up a lot and I relate. It never felt natural to me to talk to a lens and to talk on camera. And what I've noticed, especially with the artists that I work with that are in my membership community, is what's helped them is starting with just doing voiceover and still recording those video clips of them making art, just like when it comes to like process-oriented videos. And then when they edit a few of the video clips together, they'll add a little bit of voiceover to it just to add some context to either narrating, like talking through what they were doing in that moment and why, or maybe it was a challenging part of the process and there was some problem solving involved, and talking a little bit about that, of this didn't go as expected, but this is what I tried. Maybe you tried 10 different things but you got there, or maybe you tried 10 different things and it didn't work out and you're going to try something different next time. But I think that's a great step. If you're not yet ready to put yourself on camera talking, I think a great stepping stone towards that is is just using your voice and doing some voiceover.
Yeah, I so agree. I think voiceover is a really good place to get started. And even taking it a step back for anyone who's thinking, no, even a voiceover is too scary. They might be thinking, what do I say? A really good idea is just to find an art quote. Find an art quote that you feel really resonates with you and just do a voiceover with that art quote. Obviously, you need to accredit the person who wrote the quote, but that might be a good stepping stone too. So any artists out there who are listening, who you're like, no, I can't do it, just start with a 30-second video of your art and you doing a voiceover reading a quote. And then the next step, maybe you do a 30-second video of your art and it's your own voice and it's your own script, and then go from there. So it's good to just have these stepping stones of where to start. And I love their voiceover idea. I think that's so doable.
Yeah. And a couple other ideas in case folks want to try it is like something I did early on to practice. And what helped me was having a very specific reason to practice, like a why I wanted to put myself on camera. And for me, that was I wanted to connect more with the people who were experiencing my work. It's an introspective, I guess, piece of guidance of if there's some part of you that's feeling drawn towards talking on camera, spend some time with yourself, whether that's journaling or going on a walk or having a good cup of tea or a good glass of whiskey. And
if it's Japanese whiskey, I'm here for that.
Oh, yes. And if you're feeling that way, like connect with that why of why you want to show up in that way in videos that you make about your art. And then the tactical piece tied to that, that I did for myself that you could try, is to just record for yourself. No intention of publishing it. Give yourself permission to, you're not publishing it anywhere. And for a few days, like three times a day, what I did is I just set a timer on my phone in the morning, midday, and at the end of the day. And I just hit record on the selfie camera on my phone. And it didn't matter what I was saying, what I was talking about. My whole intention behind it was just like to try to make talking to a camera a little less weird. And yeah, start to normalize that a little bit. So that's a little bit more of a tactical piece to it. But yeah.
I love that. And I think sometimes, I know for me, there was a big mind shift change that had to happen, because initially when I was beginning, I just wanted my feed to be pictures of art. And I hear a lot of people say that, like, it's an art page. It's not about me. It's about the art. The art should sell itself. But it's just not true. You know, people want to connect with the artist behind the work. And if you actually look at your statistics as an artist, as soon as your face is in that little square, your engagement goes through the roof. So my Instagram feed is a lot of my face, and not because I like my face, but because I've decided as an artist, I'm a business owner. I'm here because I want to create a profitable career out of my art. And business owners don't just do what feels comfortable. Business owners step up to the plate and they do what needs to be done. And for me, that meant my face showing up in my feed. And I've realized that as a creative entrepreneur, basically it is just one uncomfortable step after the other. So if you guys are listening and you're feeling uncomfortable, that's good, because that's what it means to chase your dreams. Just one uncomfortable step after the other. It doesn't have to feel fun or normal to show up in your feed with your face, but it does get easier, doesn't it, Zach?
It does. It does. And just food for thought, like putting yourself on camera doesn't have to mean talking on camera. Mm-hmm. It could be setting up your phone to record that wide angle view of your studio so we can see the whole space, or at least a big part of your workspace. Or if it's a smaller workspace for your art practice, that's okay too. But we can see you in the space working. You don't have to be talking, I guess is my point with it too.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Okay, can you give us a bit of an equipment list? So I'd love for you to give us two lists. So list number one is bare basics. This is the bare minimum. And then list number two is, what are some added extras that you don't need, but they might bring you a bit of joy?
Sure. So the absolute essential piece is a smartphone. That is the piece of equipment that is going to do 90% of what you need tool-wise for your mini art videos. And then on the software side, the app side of it, you'll use the built-in camera app and then also the built-in photo app on iPhones or the gallery app if you're using an Android phone. And the reason why is that you can make all of these single clip mini art videos just with those, just with your smartphone. You can do that editing just with the built-in apps that came with your phone.
Okay. What about if we want to get a little bit more fancy pants? Okay. What else can we add? I know for me that when I added a tripod, it was actually life-changing because it just made it like so much easier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I really want to emphasize here that I am such a proponent for using what you have when you're starting out and upgrading, like adding, which we'll talk about here, like getting additional pieces of equipment, make the most sense when you're noticing friction in the process, when something's frustrating. If like, it sounds like maybe for you, Monique, that it was probably frustrating to prop up your phone on some books or a bookshelf or on a desk, and then maybe it fell over midway recording. That's frustrating, right? That's friction. And then it's taking you away from your art. So my first suggestion with extra bits and bobs is to get like a tabletop tripod, which really just means just like a small one that can hold your phone so that it's quick and easy to set your phone up to record. The advantage with starting with the small one is that it's also travel friendly. So it's something that you can easily throw in a bag, especially if I'm thinking of any plein air painters out there that don't want or don't need a bunch of video tools to bring in addition to all of their plein air art supplies. So it's nice to have a tabletop tripod to start for that reason too, because it's something that doesn't take up much space.
You may have heard me mention before a resource that I created specifically for artists, showing them how to maximize their content on social media. I have a great, totally free resource that shows you how to take 5 photos and 1 video and make them work for you for 2 weeks on social media. I'm not kidding. Look, as far as I'm concerned, if you're going to the effort of putting on a semi-clean shirt and making a video, you want to get as much life out of that content as possible. Knowing that your content will last longer than 24 hours not only relieves pressure, but it frees up valuable time that you could be spending in the studio. You do not have to be posting new content every day. In this resource, I go through step by step with pictures and examples, and I show you how to maximize your content. It's totally free, and you can grab it by going to MoniqueStory.com/content. That's MoniqueStory, story with an EY, .com/content.
So lighting is one of the pieces that comes up a lot with artists that ask me questions, which I'm all about, by the way. I nerd out on this all the time. So if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. When it comes to lighting, you can use the available lighting that's in your space, especially if you have some good window light going on. And a nice thing to do is if you don't already have some window treatment, like curtains and stuff in your space, if you add essentially a curtain that is sheer, that's white, that'll soften the window light that's coming in. So if you just like softer window light is always a lovely, beautiful thing, especially if you get a lot of harsh sunlight kicking in into your space. And if you're doing recording some video clips of a piece that you just finished, or if you're doing the finishing touches, signing it, varnishing it, setting up your piece by a window, having something that will diffuse the light from the window is a really lovely way. And it's more of a like a DIY thing. You can even, it doesn't look great, but a super DIY thing would be to get a shower curtain or liner that's a semi-transparent frosted, and you could clip that up in the window when you're recording by it as well. That'll help. And then if you want to supplement the light in your studio, I talk a lot about having what I call a paper lantern lighting kit. And really all it is, and I use it in my studio, even throughout my house, because it's very practical. It's just imagine like any of those like round paper lanterns. And the major things with it is that you want it to be white so that it doesn't shift the color temperature of the light. You want to do the same thing with anything you put in front of the sunlight that's coming through your window, by the way, I didn't mention that. But with the paper lantern, it's the paper lantern and then just a hanging cord that has the light socket at the end of it. And then a really bright LED bulb that you can plug into it. And you can hang that anywhere in your studio. And it's something that you can spend $20 or $30 on. And you can even end up getting the supplies for several of them if you have like different spots in your studio that you want to supplement the light in.
Was there something else you wanted to add to your list?
Yes. The final upgrade is, so you've got the tabletop tripod. You could also consider getting a full-size tripod. And the best ones, in my opinion, for this use are what would be called like a travel tripod. So it still can collapse and break down into a relatively small footprint if you need it to. If you need to throw it into a suitcase and maybe you're doing an artist residency on the other side of the city, let alone the other side of the world, and you want to bring your full-size tripod. And the reason why you'd get this one in addition to the tabletop is that at full height, it'll be able to be as tall, most likely, as you are. And that'll allow you to get more of a variety of angles as you're recording and not be limited by the tabletop tripod being on the surface or the ground.
What would you say to someone who is looking to create video content as part of their marketing strategy and they're just getting started, but they want to take things to the next level?
So if you're just getting started, I want to suggest that you record just these two types of mini art videos. And those are either about your process, so sharing glimpses of your process as you're making art, or finished works of yours. And the reason why is that the process ones will help share that, you know, behind the curtain, people getting to see you making your work. And marketing wise, it'll lend itself to building up anticipation for this single piece that you're working on, or if you have a collection that you're planning a launch for, which I know, Monique, you've talked about and shared in some previous episodes of the podcast, that's what the process mini art videos, that's their purpose, is to help build that runway of anticipation. I've seen a lot of artists do this, especially if they make prints of their original work, painters especially, where maybe they're releasing a collection of originals, and they're also releasing a collection of like a limited collection of prints that can build that anticipation with the process videos. And then the finished work videos are really like you're showing the finished painting, sculpture, pottery, piece of fiber art. For some artists, this looks like having a spot in your studio, maybe where you're taking photos. Like I know a lot of artists will have a white backdrop, maybe a piece of seamless paper. So it's a much more polished presentation of the finished piece. On the flip side, and this other one is my preference, of seeing the finished piece in context in your studio, like it being surrounded by all of the time, the love, the context, the stories, the materials in the process that it took to make it. So if you're a painter and you work on an easel, that finished piece could be on the easel or could be leaning up against a wall with maybe if you have a bunch of plants in your studio, you move some plants in. So it's a little bit of a staging it if you want to, if that sounds like fun. This is a common thing for a lot of photographers that shoot flat lays, where they'll have a table and laying out, for lack of better terms, props, but they're not props, right? Like They're the materials that you use, your art supplies, whether it's paintbrushes or sculpting tools and stuff, right?
Yeah, I actually do that. Even if I'm filming myself varnishing, just putting a paintbrush, the corner of the palette, just off in the corner, it just creates like a bit more of context, right? Creates, makes it a little bit more interesting visually.
Exactly. So that's for the artists listening who are in the beginning stages with their art videos. Of just think of those two categories of process focused or finished work focus. And the gift in that really is that these two types alone, if these are all that you make in terms of the mini art videos that you make about your art, they'll both really beautifully serve the purpose of selling your art, which at the heart of this, like when it comes down to it, that's where we want to guide people to, if that's a fit, obviously, for someone's art business at this point.
Loved what you said about thinking about what brings you joy, because I'm really big on that too. I think as artists, we don't need to be looking to see what someone else is doing. I think the key to your own success, the key to how you make videos is you. What comes naturally to you? What do you enjoy? And then let that guide you. So I think of some artists who are super quirky and they really enjoy entertaining. So their videos about their art, it's always got that sort of quirky, humorous element to it. Or if you're someone who loves really deep and meaningful quotes, then let that guide your video making. Let who you are, what you naturally enjoy, let that guide you rather than feeling you've got to do something that doesn't fit naturally. I just wanted to highlight that because I loved what you said about what is actually bringing you joy. Because if it brings you joy, then you're going to be able to be consistent and sustainable. Yes. All about sustainable success. I love that.
Yes. 100% yes. And I want to add into this too, just to your question of anyone that's maybe been recording videos of their art already. So this is, I guess this next piece, I just want to mention, like any of you, if you're listening and you haven't started yet, don't let these more advanced things overwhelm you. It's not something to focus on yet. And that's important to me because all of us are on our own journeys in business, in marketing and everything. And I, for one, can fall susceptible to shiny objects. And so I just want to mention that as a precursor to a few more advanced steps to it. But if you do want to bring video as a tool more into your art business, you could think about it as, What are places in your business that you could add more of a human touch to it? And this, some examples of this would be when someone signs up for your email newsletter, like to get email updates from you, they're not paying for something with money, but there's certainly the currency of their information and that they're giving you their email address, right? So what if you surprised them after they sign up? Any email newsletter service that you use should have an option to send them to another page after they sign up, just to encourage them to confirm their email. And on that page, you could have, or on the confirmation page that follows after they confirm their email, you could have a mini video of yourself or of your art if you don't yet want to talk on camera, but you could have a little video waiting for them there as a small, think of it as like a small gift to surprise them with a little bit of delight and to just further lean into humanizing you, that you are this real person on the other side of the internet and that you're there.
I love that.
And we can think about this too, of like other parts of your art business, but you could do the same thing for new customers, right? As well as loyal returning customers or collectors, especially for those loyal folks. But I do this with anyone who buys my workshop. I send them a personal mini video using a tool called Bonjouro, which is actually a tech company based out of Australia, as far as I know. But it's a fun way to send a little message, a little video voicemail in a way, and to have this person who just bought something from you or just bought more of your work, for them to feel seen and acknowledged in a special way too. But that's just like little ways, if we think of it as sprinkling some fairy dust on the experience to delight people that are interacting with us.
Yeah, you're giving me so many ideas. Imagine if a week after you have shipped painting, somebody gets an email in their inbox that gives them tips on how to hang art or how to install it or how to clean it or a little video showing them how to package it if they even need to shift or move that piece of art. The possibilities are just endless. I love that.
Yes. Yeah, that's fantastic.
So, speaking of supporting artists and ideas, I know that's what you do. That's your heart. That's your passion, is supporting artists and teaching them how to utilize video to market their art. So tell us more about what you do and how our artists can connect with you if they want to know more about working with you and want to know more about learning from you.
Yeah. So for connecting, I absolutely love answering questions about art videos. I nerd out on this all the time. And so if you've been listening and these stories that we've been talking about resonate with you, if you've got questions, anything you want to clarify, something that you'd like to share with me, I'm most active on Instagram. So please feel free to send me a direct message there. And my handle is @zach.wolfson on Instagram. And then in terms of what I have to offer, I really just have two things. And the starting point working together is I have a short, very short workshop called Making Mini Art Videos. And it's very short by design, because I'm very much, a big part of my ethos is learning by doing, because I feel like for so many of us, especially as artists, getting our hands dirty in the materials and practicing and trying out things and experimenting is the best way I've found to learn. So that's why I wanted to structure it that way. And at this point, nearly 100 artists have already gone through the workshop, and it's just about an hour long, the core training to it. And I'll help you start making some simple art videos that you can start using to document your journey, like we've been talking about, and attracting the right people into your audience while you're back in the studio. So if you want to make your first mini art video this week, and I'm serious about it, many of the artists who have gone through it have even recorded one while watching the training, because they're in their studio, they're working on a piece. So you can pick up the workshop at my website, which is at readytorecord.com.
And I'll also link to it in the show notes as well.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I'm taking a lot of mental notes. I really am looking forward to putting into practice some of those extra ideas of using video. For those people listening, just remember, it's just about finding your possible. So don't let the big ideas hold you back, because there's always going to be reasons not to start. Always. It's just, you know what? Do what is possible. So I have a tripod now, but when I started, I literally had to rearrange the whole lounge. I had to make tripods out of books and sticky tape and whatever else. Just don't let equipment or the difficulty of things hold you back, because it is possible. Start simple and then get fancy pants later. But video is such an incredible tool for telling stories and connecting with collectors. And those connections, that's what brings you satisfaction. And that's what helps you to actually turn this creativity thing of yours into a thriving business, which is what we want. We want artists who are running enjoyable, thriving art businesses. Before you go, Zach, can I just give you a little bit of encouragement? Is that okay?
Oh, I'd love it.
So I'm a very visual person. I'm very much like a metaphor person. And when I think about you and the work that you do, I just see like a river. And it's water just flowing down a river. And there's all these obstacles in the way. There's giant boulders and there's sticks and there's logs that have fallen into river. And I see you just lifting up the boulders, lifting up the giant logs in the way and just clearing the obstacles for artists. And I think that's what you do with your work. You make it enjoyable, you make it simple, you make it accessible. And by the way that you teach and the work that you do, you are removing obstacles for artists to just carrying on down that river, reaching their potential and reaching their dreams, really. So love what you do. Loved having you on the show. Thank you so much for partnering with me and cheering on artists and helping them get to their next step.
Wow. Monique, I'm speechless. You really touched my heart sharing that with me. So thank you so much for sharing that with me and for having me here with you. I'm so grateful.
Oh, you're so welcome.
The best way forward is one step at a time. And by listening today, you just took one more step in the direction of your dreams. If you're looking for more, head on over to moniquestory.com. That's story with an E-Y. There you can get your hands on today's show notes and heaps of other free resources. Until next time, go and find your possible.